All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and go back to the New Testament to the Transfiguration in chapter 17 of Matthew's Gospel. And I'm going to try and finish up the Transfiguration tonight. No promises, but I'm going to try. next week, Lord willing, and if I get finished, next week we're going to look at the crucifixion, and we're going to see the Shekinah in the crucifixion. All right, let's read, please, verse 1. It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, 3 tents. Let's set up 3 tents, if you will. All right. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright, what? Cloud. All right. There's your Shekinah. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them." By the way, remember when the angel appeared to the shepherds and they fell on their face and they were sore afraid? Okay. All right. Just making sure you make the parallel there, connection. Let's see. Verse 7. "And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid." And that's exactly what was said to the shepherds. "And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." All right, let's pray, and then we will continue on. Let's pray. Our Father, now thank you so much for these comforting words that we read here in Matthew 17. And Father, I thank you for what we have already seen and learned and discovered in these verses. And I pray now you'll bless tonight as we continue our thoughts on why Moses and Elijah, why these two. And Father, I just thank you so much for what they represent and what they picture for us. And I pray now you'll bless as we look at your word tonight. Touch our hearts with your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Last week, we looked at the fact that Moses was at the Transfiguration, and that Moses was a representation of the law. All right. He was a representation of the law. And then we saw that Elijah was there, and he was a representative of the prophets. Now, you'll remember that the purpose for the law was to show us that we are indeed sinners. We have transgressed against God. And then there was Elijah, who represented the prophets and their message. And Elijah was one who did not have to experience death. Now, we know that death comes because of our transgression. All right? Sin is a transgression of the law, the Bible says. And the wages of sin is death. So in Moses, we see represented those who pass or have to pass through the portal of death. But then in Elijah, we see those who are a picture of the glorious rapture of the church when there is a generation of saved sinners who will not have to see death. And how many of you want to be in that group? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, you, I do too. So that's what we looked at last week. All right, now, there's something else I want you to notice about the disciples and their experience with the Lord Jesus and with Moses and Elijah. All right, notice this. Notice how the three listened with rapt attention while there was a conversation going on between Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Now, you say, well, it doesn't say anything about that in Matthew. I know. So go over to Luke 9 for just a minute, and let me read you what Luke tells us about this event. And Luke chapter 9. All right, and look, please, at verse 28. Verse 28, and here the Bible says, and it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. All right, now hold your place right here and turn over to the book of Acts for just 1 second. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. All right, and look, please, at verse 8. Verse 8, the Lord Jesus says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, you know that this is the ascension. This is when the Lord went back to his Father in heaven. And so it says he was taken up, and a what? A cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went, behold, two angels. Doesn't say that, does it? No, it doesn't say that at all. What's it say? Two men. All right? Now, two men, you know, that means two men. All right? Could it possibly have been Moses and Elijah? Could it possibly have been? But anyway, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." All right, so I personally believe with all my heart that these two men who came back to familiar territory, came back to familiar faces, Peter, James, and John anyway. I believe those two men were Moses and Elijah. Who better to give a testimony to the authority of the Word of God than those two? You know, I mean, just think about it. All right, so now back to Matthew, or Luke, please, chapter 9. Go back to Luke chapter 9. I'm sorry, just a little detour, but we got back. All right, verse 30. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter, when they were with him, were heavy with sleep. And Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. Did that just spark a little interest in your heart right there? I mean, did you put yourself in their shoes right there? Think about it. They wake up from their sleep, and Elijah and Moses have gone. They heard the conversation. The conversation was about our Lord's death, about his going to the cross, and they were astounded by what they heard. But when they woke up, they all of a sudden saw that they were in a cloud. They were in the Shekinah. It was all around them, and they knew what it was. They had to know what it was. All right? They had to know what it was. And it says that they feared as they entered into the cloud. Why did they fear? Because they knew what it was. It was the presence of God. They knew it. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of the things which they had seen. All right, now, I want you to think about this inner circle, Peter, James, and John, as they are listening to the Lord Jesus and these two Old Testament legends speak, and the topic was our Lord's soon approaching death. That was the subject that they overheard being discussed. And don't forget, folks, this topic, the death, if you remember from back in Matthew 16 and verse 22 or verse 21, it says, "And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and must suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be what? Killed. and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. So you remember that this topic was the topic that had so disturbed Peter, James, and John just a week earlier. This topic of his demise, of his decease, of his approaching death. It is really interesting if you look at Luke 9, verse 31, and it says that who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish in Jerusalem. Now that word decease is the Greek word, see if it sounds familiar to anybody, exodon. Exodon. What's the second book of the Bible called? Exodus. Exodon. All right? It's called Exodus. That ought to sound familiar to everybody. I mean, the second book of the Bible is called Exodus, and it tells how God took the children of Israel out of Egypt and brought them into the land of promise. And how did he do that? With the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Okay? So you tie it all together, folks, and you can see this cloud just every little bit throughout the entirety of the Word of God. So really, when you think about it, that's what his death was. It was an exodon. It was an exodus. Our death, as was the Lord's death, is an exodus from this world to the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land of heaven, spiritually speaking. Now watch carefully. Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. One died physically, the other did not. Now, what did the law do? Well, Paul said that the law was a schoolmaster to teach us, to show us, to reveal to us that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And so Paul says in Romans 3:20, he said, For by the law is the knowledge of sin. In Galatians 3:24, Paul said, Wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. So Moses appears representing the law, and the law revealed to us that we are sinners and that the wages of sin is death. So Moses and the bottom line with Moses is death. But then, also at the transfiguration, is Elijah. And when you think of Elijah, you think of the prophets, and specifically with him, that he did not have to experience physical death. He was raptured out of this world. I mean, raptured, taken right out. He's standing there by the Jordan River with his mantle in his hand, and he had just parted the river so he could walk over. And he's standing on the eastern side, and all of a sudden a whirlwind comes up, and it just takes him right up into heaven. Isn't that awesome? I mean. He wasn't afraid, you know, and we're not going to be afraid either. Man, when the Lord sounds that trumpet, we're all going to be helping. You know, we're going to start jumping because we know it's coming. And he knew it was coming. He told Elisha, don't let me get out of your sight. You're going to miss something if you let me get out of your sight. And Elisha just stayed right there with him. And when he went up, he dropped the mantle, and the mantle fell so that Elisha could pick it up and put it on. And he asked for a double portion. You remember that? Give me a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. Elijah performed, what was it, 8 miracles? And then Elisha, 16. It was indeed a double portion. Folks, you can't tell me that some man sat down somewhere and wrote this book. You just can't tell me that. I would never believe that. It's just absolutely amazing how the Lord has put together this book. So you've got the law and the prophets. You've got death and you've got the rapture. And isn't it interesting that the rapture is even pictured in the Old Testament? All right? While it may be a New Testament doctrine, nonetheless, it has always been in the plan of God Almighty. Amen. Always. So when the rapture happens, we're not going to be shocked by it. I mean, we have been reading and growing and learning the Word of God. We have been, I have been preaching about the fact that the Lord is coming again. I preached on the signs that show He's coming. I preached on all the pictures that I could dig out of the Scripture over the last 28 years. And I've shared with you over and over and over, Jesus is coming again. It's not just a New Testament doctrine, no. Here, all the way back in the Old Testament, we have a picture through Elijah that the rapture is coming. So here is Peter, James, and John, and they're listening to this conversation. And surely they realized if the death, now catch this now, if the death of the Lord Jesus was so important to Moses and Elijah, it must have a significance which had, at least up to their to that point, escaped their ability to fully comprehend. I mean, can you imagine them sitting there? I'm sure that as they were listening to this, they turned and looked at one another and said, "Are you hearing what I'm hearing?" They're talking about his death. And I'm sure John looked over and said, "Yeah, and you're the one that rebuked him last week when he mentioned his death." Huh? Man, I'm sure that they were sitting there going, "Wow. Boy, we've missed something here. We've missed something here." And boy, they did, didn't they? And then notice that Moses and Elijah were there for another important reason. You see, the approaching death of the Lord Jesus was more than just some academic discussion on the side of a mountain over in the Holy Land. All right? More to it than that. You see, their own eternal destiny was involved. They had their own place in glory, in heaven, in eternity, that was based solely on the certainty of the Lord Jesus Christ's death on Calvary's cross. If Jesus did not die on the cross, then they would have had no atonement. You and I would have no atonement for our sin. But wait a second, neither would Moses or Elijah have atonement for their sin. So just as Jesus going to the cross was important for Peter, James, and John, and just as Christ going to the cross was important for you and for me and for every believer on the planet, it was also important for Moses and Elijah. Because their sins had to be atoned for as well. That's an awesome That's an awesome principle right there. So surely the disciples were now able to understand the importance and the necessity of the cross. They had to understand that he had to go to the cross. Now, again, folks, I'm not 100% sure that all of them, the disciples, understood all of this that happened the moment it happened. I still think that it was not until the resurrection, after the resurrection, that they finally put everything together and finally figured all things out. All right? You remember 10 days they spent, 10 days they spent in the upper room. Now, we're still in Luke, right? All right, so go over to chapter 24. Go over to chapter 24 of Luke. All right, now you know the story here. You know that the Lord has resurrected, okay? And if you'll, he appeared to the Emmaus Road disciples and Cleopas, and I think Mrs. Cleopas, personally, okay? They were walking home from Jerusalem, and they were sad, verse 17. And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast thou not heard or not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And so the Lord showed them. Now look at verse 21. Look at verse 19, okay? And he said unto them, What things? What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, and which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers, our rulers, delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Verse 21, But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. All right, so they're still looking for the king. All right, still looking for the king. He said, and beside this is the third day after all these things were done. So you can see they're wrestling. They're wrestling with it. This is the third day. Well, what's so important about that? Well, he talked about the third day over and over and over as the day that he would come back to life, that he would resurrect from the grave. So they're hoping beyond hope that he did that. Well, you know the story. That's when he revealed himself to them. It says in verse 7, and beginning at Moses, or 27, I'm sorry, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Boy, I'd like to have been in on that Bible study. Wouldn't you? That would have been a dandy. Yes, sir. All right, now jump down to verse 36. All right, so they come running back. They tell the disciples what they had seen. Did I say 36? I meant 31. Look at verse 31. And their eyes were opened. All right, so he sat down and had dinner with them, and he took bread, blessed it, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And so they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? You ever been in church and the Holy Spirit took the word of God and just stirred your heart with it? You ever feel like just jumping up and saying amen? You know, God just gets you, you know, just grabs your heart with the truth. All right, well, that's how they felt. And so what did he do? Well, they came running. They came running. And verse 34, they went to where the disciples were in Jerusalem at the upper room. And they said in verse 34, the Lord is risen indeed. He's risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon. And look at verse 36 then. And as they thus spake, so they're in the upper room, and while they were speaking, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, now watch, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in what? In Elijah, the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Amen. Then, watch. Then, verse 45, opened he their understanding. I would love to have been there to see the lights come on for those guys, wouldn't you? I mean, I'll guarantee you Peter jumped up and had just a slobbering fit, don't you think? I would think he did. I mean, it all comes to them. They all get it. They all can tie the scriptures together and see how it presents a perfect plan of salvation from the Father. Man, what an amazing, absolutely amazing passage of Scripture. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. You see, folks, it's all about the Scriptures. You say, well, I have a friend and he doesn't believe the virgin birth. Well, he doesn't believe the scriptures. Well, I went to my nephew's church for a baptism or whatever, and that preacher stood up and said that he didn't believe in the blood atonement. No, he doesn't believe the Bible. You see, that's the bottom line. This is God's revelation of his truth. So he opened their minds to the scriptures. Oh, I like that. That is so powerful. All right. So everybody got that? All right. Now go back to Matthew for just a minute. We don't have but a few minutes left here. So let's look at a couple other things here while we still have time. All right, we may have to run this in the next week. I'm not done. All right. The the ministry of the glory cloud at the transfiguration. The glory cloud, the Shekinah. Well, that's found in chapter 17 of Matthew, verse 5. And it played a very important role in the preparation of the disciples for what lay ahead. You see, folks, they've got to come to grips with who Jesus is. In just a matter of weeks, he's going to go to the cross. He's going to give his life. He's going to be buried. He's going to resurrect. And then he's going to go back to heaven. And before he went back to heaven, you remember, he gave them what we call the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, everybody needs to hear the gospel. And so that's what lay ahead for the disciples. They've got to go out and convince a world that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came and died and was buried, that he had no sin of his own. He was virgin born. Man, that's a huge story to tell, is it not? I mean, that's a huge story to tell. 33 and a half years and never sinned one time. I can't get up in the morning without sin. I resurrect from the dead every morning. Do I have to get up? And I get up every morning kicking and screaming. Just hate to get up. I used to hate to go to bed. I love to go to bed now. I just don't like to get up still. But anyway, they've got to go out and convince the world that Jesus is who he says he is. And that's quite a task. Virgin born, died, was buried, and then resurrected. Folks, we've been to the cemetery too many times, haven't we? We see that casket sitting there over top of a dugout hole. And there's a vault down in there. And we look around and find where they've put the top to that vault. And we realize that as soon as everybody's gone, they're going to lower that casket and put that lid on that vault and seal that thing up. All right, we understand all that. But Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die. We shall not all die. All right, so again, I mean, here's your Moses and Elijah. Kyle Pritz told me that Pastor Campbell has probably done more funerals than anybody in the history of Pritz Funeral Home. He said probably Pastor Campbell did more than anyone in his 43 years as the assistant pastor here at the church. That's a testimony right there. That's a wonderful testimony right there. But when they call and they know, all the funeral homes in the area know, if the person who has passed does not have someone to do their service, call us. We'll do it. Because we use it as an opportunity to present the gospel and see folks saved. And there are people who are in our church now because of funerals. Kevin and Cindy Bodie, who are now working in a teen home out in Morgantown, West Virginia. They started coming here because I got asked to do Cindy's brother's funeral, John Vascoy. Some of y'all remember John. And I did his funeral, and they said we didn't know any of that. And they got right with God and started coming to church here, and then the Lord called them into the ministry. All right? Probably one of the first funerals that I did when I came here 28 years ago, I think it'll be 28 years this Sunday. Is that right, Karen? Last Sunday? Okay. Well, it was at the end of November. And it was right around Thanksgiving. And that's the first time I ever ate steamed crabs. David Crago brought some crabs out. He said, can I bring you dinner? We said, sure, that'd be awesome. He said, well, I got some steamed crabs. You ever had those? I said, nope. So we sat at the table, plates and forks and spoons and knives and, all that stuff. We sat at the table. And David comes walking in, and he's looking around, and he goes, huh. And he's carrying a big old box full of crabs. He goes, can I set these down somewhere? I said, yeah, I'll set them right there. So he sets them on the counter. He says, you mind if I do this? We said, no, help yourself. What are you doing? He said, well, you won't need these. And he picked up all the plates and all the, silverware, put it all over on the counter, said, you don't need this. He said, do you have any newspaper? I said, no, we just moved it. Newspaper. We're not building a fire. You have to heat those things? What's going on? He said, I didn't think you would, so I brought some. So he reached in the box and pulled out some newspaper and laid the newspaper all over the table, took the crabs, dumped them out, and said, all right, there you go. Have at it. And of course, we had the kids with us then, and Leanne Lauren kind of looked at us and went, I ain't eating that. But anyway, how did I get off on this? Does anybody know? First funeral, there you go. So shortly after we came, Irvin Kibler, brother David, passed away. Donna Kibler's husband. Y'all remember Brother Kibler? Sweet, sweet man. Oh my goodness. And they asked if I'd do his funeral, and I said, well, certainly. Well, Irvin was there. And they heard stuff they had never heard before. And they started coming to church. And they've been coming ever since. I mean, funerals are a great opportunity to give the gospel. People are thinking about eternity. So I don't think you ought to take advantage of people. I'm not taking advantage of anybody. You still have a choice to make a decision. But if I've got people sitting in front of me, and I suspect that there's some in that building who are not saved, I'm going to share the gospel with them. I'm not going to hold a gun to their head and say, now you better pray and receive the Lord. I won't do that. But I certainly will give them the gospel and give them the opportunity to be saved. Ray, you told me a little boy or a little girl? Little boy. Came to his mother. Was it up in the great room or here? Came to Mrs. Campbell. Oh, her great nephew from Ohio. Well, anyway, he said he just wanted Shirley to know that that he prayed with the preacher and got saved. Amen. Amen. There's another one the devil won't get. So praise the Lord for that. All right. Well, Yeah, we will. Don't y'all go anywhere unless the rapture happens and I go with you. And then during the millennium, we'll finish this, okay? If the Lord comes back during the millennium, we'll get us a little spot off to the side and we'll finish this. All right, of course, you'll already know it all. But, inevitably, I'll know some things that I didn't know. So it'll work out good for all of us. All right. Well, what a book, folks. What an amazing book. All right. Father, thank you now for your word. Bless this to our hearts. Encourage us in the things of the Lord. Father, help us to look as we read the scriptures. Help us to look for Moses and Elijah. Help us to look for them. They're all over the New Testament. And I think there is a reason for it, because what a beautiful picture was presented when those two showed up at the Transfiguration. And when they were sitting there discussing your exodus. And so, Father, I pray you'll seal this in our hearts and help us to go home, read, reread, and get grounded and settled in what we have learned this evening. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.